Welcome, everybody. I'm glad to see everybody here today. A couple of announcements. Today we're having potluck after church, so I hope you stay and enjoy some food. And then after that, oh yes, wow, we have our new projector. Look at this. Ooh. No more snow in the face.
Lots better than it was.
It's so bright and beautiful. It's just really exciting. So yes, we need to praise the Lord for that this week. Then, but we are having potluck, and then we're showing sessions 7 and 8 of The Chosen. And so that is going to be really good. I'm excited to see the next part of it. So I encourage you to stay very, it's very good. We've seen 1 through 6, and they've been really awesome. So we're anxious to see that. Wednesday night, we have prayer meeting, and this is through Zoom. You can also call on the phone. So I encourage you to join us for prayer. It's a uplifting time, and I think the Lord is honoring our prayers. So we just thank the Lord that we can get together by way of internet these days and not have to drive out to the church, but it's just a great prayer meeting. And then the food pantry is going to be open every Wednesday after gleaning, so from 11 to 12. But I encourage you to go to gleaning, too. It's really, they've gotten a lot, especially meat, which is kind of nice. And then Sundays from noon to 1. And then our shoeboxes, and we should be bringing them next Sunday. So encourage you to do your shoeboxes. Lori brought hers already, so there's one out there to see. It's all filled, so we're all... I encourage you to get the shoeboxes and fill them up, and we will pass
them out.
Pray over them next Sunday, and be sure you pray for whoever, whatever child gets them. So here's a little video to watch.
Hola, I am Margarita.
Hi, I'm Barbara.
And together, we are the Happy Grandmas.
How do you guys meet?
Okay, that was a long time ago.
We were in a Sunday school class together. And I remember Margarita, and I remember her asking a lot of questions.
Yes.
And I'm very shy, so I wasn't asking any questions.
We're more than friends, we're sisters, you know.
Oh yes, how are you?
And we have traveled together. Oh, we have so much fun traveling.
She is a comedian.
And in this, I think this is the last season of our lives, I guess. Or maybe the second to last, maybe. We've been making these cuddlies, these stuffed animals. They have been going to different missions with our churches. We were praying, Lord, give us a ministry that we can just provide continually. We knew about Operation Christmas Child through our churches.
Then we said, maybe these little guys can go in there.
Yeah.
We can come up together with a script to put on a little label on the plastic bag that we put them in to tell a child, you know, God loves them just like they are, and that they're perfectly imperfect, just like all of us are.
It's showing God's love for them. It's like a comfort. The name Comfort Cuddly, we always wanted that word comfort to be present when whoever receives them gets the comfort from God. And it's a cuddly because you can cuddle to it.
They may use up their soap and their different things, but if they can keep this to hold, it'll make them think of God loving them and holding them.
See, he has his own personality.
We've made just over 5,000 cuddlies since 2017.
It's contagious, you know, people we talk all the time, oh, I want to help. I said, oh yeah, you can donate even, you know, your clothes, you know, you can donate. That's a nice top, Barbara. We can use that for a
shirt. She's gonna cut my shirt.
If I can see, and if I can sew, and if I can cut and trace, I'll be doing this until I die.
I tell my kids, I'm staying to 100. And they're like, why would you want to do that? And I said, I have cuddlies to make. Yeah. I have things to do. And as long as God keeps me healthy, we will continue.
We make them, God place them.
Wasn't that awesome? And you know, we have some ladies, there's a couple of ladies that live out of Banks. One lady, she can't drive, but yet when she, all year, when she sees a sale or something and somebody's taking her to town, she'll buy cases of things, and she does like 200 shoe boxes at least every year that she turns in to the same place that we turn it in. And they usually have to go take a pickup truck and go get them.
Wow, that's cool.
I know, isn't that cool?
Yeah.
So I challenge you guys, it's such a blessing to fill shoe boxes. And so, you know, we're small, but we're mighty.
Yeah.
So I just thank the Lord for that. It's a lot of fun. Okay, so let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. And thank you for providing a place that we can come and just worship you, that we can come and sing praises to you, that we can come and hear your word, Lord, and what you want us to hear today. Father God, I just give you all praise that we have a pastor visiting today, and we're anxious to hear him speak. We just thank you that we can sing praises to you, Lord, that we all have voices to sing and just praise your name. Father God, we just ask for a peace now along this. We ask for just the world to be quiet and just let us praise you. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to stand and we're going to go to our call to worship. And today this call to worship is Psalms 34, verses 4 and 5. I prayed to the Lord and he answered me. He freed me from all my fears. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. Oh, what doesn't that just, you know, another thing I didn't mention as the announcement is our Sunday school class. We just had a great Sunday school class today, and I encourage you to come. There's still some books back there. Grab a book. We just went through from Monday to Sunday, and it was a great discussion and just great praising the Lord as we did it. So encourage you to come again next week. All right, so we are going to worship the Lord. Now thank we all our God.
Still is our woman at the well I was seeking for things that could not satisfy. And then I heard my Savior speaking, draw from my well the
just can't find a way. Oh. Good morning, church, and God bless you. At this time, the ushers will come forward. We will take our tithes and offerings. Josh usually comes up and helps out, and he wanted everybody to know. He called me, left me a voicemail. He said, tell everybody that I'm staying at my brother's house, and I won't be there, but I miss him. So, Josh Culver says hi. Normally he's up here to help. Father, Lord, thank you for the blessings that you have given us. The many times over, you have covered our bills, our finances, our needs, and the maintenance and ongoing of this building. We can come and be within the church. Amen. How much more valuable each one of us is than a simple sparrow. Amen. If you knew that song. His eye is on the sparrow. And I know he watches us. I've got some stuff from the live feed here to share. I try to remember, since I have the privilege of leading prayer, to ask people if they have requests. And some people know our sister Julie Marie Jackson from another church. She has been a children's pastor forever. And I have enjoyed doing a lot of counseling at Camp White Branch with and for her. And she says that she would like everyone to pray for her because she's at home with an illness today. So that was all she said. She didn't say anything more specific, but we can lift our sister Julie Jackson up. And then somebody posted, "We are so blessed to have this new projector." Amen. Yes. So praise the Lord for that. We don't have the popcorn in the bottom left corner anymore, but we can still party without it. So, but anyone else have a praise or a prayer request they would like to share? Bill. Amen. Bill and Donna have found a place to move to and a place to call home. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. I see Vicky has been able to jump on online. Hello, Vicky. Landon, do you have a prayer request? Landon is saying he's grateful for his doggy Molly. Yes. She's been a lifesaver. I don't know how much you know about golden retrievers, but they're like puppies for life, right? And she has always given him so much love and sensory encouragement with his autism. So she's been a godsend. I saw a hand in the back, a young lady. I don't know a name. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Okay. All right. So praise for your family that they had a property to go to and were able to sell their prior one. Is that correct? Thank you, Lord. What's your name? Ziva. Thank you, Ziva, for sharing that. So Ziva's family, they were able to find a new property to live and sell an old property. I haven't seen the one from Vicky yet. I haven't looked down, but I will. Judy? This is Marie, right? Marie Hundley. Okay. So praise to Marie coming through the surgery, looking pretty good afterwards, and of course continued prayers for continued healing from Marie Hundley. And Vicki Nichols did just post in our live feed here, yay for the new projector. She's rejoicing with us. But she's still bothered with her ears. They're on the mend with some antibiotics. Love to you all. So let's continue to lift up Vicki today. Hopefully those ears will clear up soon. Yes, Judy, go. For Jim Cooper's cousin, Roger, and a cancer removal surgery. There we go. Got to get it right, because for those that are watching with us virtually, you guys need to be with us in spirit. Anyone else have a praise or a prayer request you'd like to share? Donna. I remember seeing that now. Yeah. Hernandez. Hernandez. That silent H. Hernandez. Hernandez. Most of us say Hernandez, but we don't realize the H is silent, so it's Hernandez. Yeah. Hernandez. The Hernandez family. See, I did it. There was one member that was in the hospital being treated, and then the husband passed away from a heart attack because of that. Mother was in for COVID, and the father died. Yeah. And if I remember right reading the prayer chain, they weren't going to tell mom about it yet until she was stronger. Okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with always telling the truth. So, yeah. And I'm sure the doctor had the best intents when they said, don't tell her, she's too weak. But the truth is the truth as well. Anyone else request or praise they'd like to share? Paul Baker, he was on the prayer chain too. Anybody remember the update on that one? Just continued prayer, I think. A biopsy, that's what it was. Another biopsy on his lung, that's what it was. So continue prayer for Paul and for Carol. I mean, if you're married out there or you're attached to someone significantly, you know that it's a package deal. And God made it that way intentionally for support. Okay. Absolutely. Pastor Teresa, our interim pastor, who's not here today, she's dealing with family needs and the passing of her mom. Absolutely. We continue to lift up you, Teresa. We love you very much. We missed your presence, but we know you need to do what's right and honor your family and mom. That's the right thing. Continue prayer for our brother Ted. He's actually here today. He's in the back. So if you hug him gentle, but give him some love. Debbie, did he manage to put any more weight this last week? Lost half a pound, so. Oh, Lord, help our brother Ted. Jeremy. Pray for the Sano family. Julie Sano had a heart attack and passed away, so prayers for so Randy and Bailey are the husband and daughter. Okay. So prayer for those who remain and for those that are gone. Anyone else? I have a praise. I don't know how many of you have had some, adverse reactions to COVID vaccines out there, but I got mine on Tuesday, and by Wednesday night I had 102 fever just a day later. And I've been just drained of my energy as my body is building up an immune response to that. And so my praise is that I'm actually waking up with some energy this morning. And so that's just, y'all know when you get sick, even if it's a vaccine that makes your body think it's sick, that you just get drained. And I'm just feeling a little more spunky this morning. So let's pray for our national leaders, our local leaders, our school boards, everybody in leadership over us right now. We need to lift up the Holy Spirit to their hearts and their minds, that choices would be made to honor God, honor families, and strengthen our communities all the way through. Let's go to prayer. Father, Lord, thank you for giving us this great nation to live in. It is still great because we honor you with it. Lord, we lift up our leaders of this great nation. We ask that you would get a hold of their hearts and their minds to give them wisdom and strength and encouragement to make the good decisions that benefit us all in leadership. Lord, let each one of us, over the things we have leadership over, be mindful of your biblical principles, your godly guiding, and the wisdom you so freely give in making the proper decisions for us, our families, our communities, our states, our nations. So, Lord, we look to you as our founding father did for guidance right now. And we ask you to guide this great nation and protect us all, even from our own folly. Lord, many people have been asking for prayer, Lord. We lift up Vicky, we lift up Ted, we lift up Paul, we lift up the Sanho family, we lift up so many. Lord, there were so many shared this morning. I don't remember them all right now, but God, you know the needs of each and every one. And of those who are absent, Lord, we miss Josh. Thank you, Lord. He checked in and said, hey, I love you, family, because that's what we are. Lord, we know you come first, our nuclear family second, and then church families third. So, Lord, thank you for putting that order in place, and thank you, Lord, for giving us such a great foundation as that. Help us each remain there, grounded in you, for our family, for our church, for our nation. We ask all this in your Son's name, the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. All right, kiddos, come on up. We'll do a quick prayer for you, and you can go to children's church. Ziva, you're welcome to come up if you like, but no requirement. Father, Lord, watch over these cherubs you have given us. Lord, please let the words that you have prepared in the hearts of those that are witnessing and basically preaching and teaching to their hearts go a long way. Lord, be the yeast that brings about a lot of growth in the lives of these little hearts this morning. In your name we pray. Amen.
We have a visiting pastor with us today, and it's Robert Agarda. I was afraid I wasn't going to say it right. Robert Agarda, and they live in Vancouver, so they drove a little ways to see us, so we're happy to have him here. And his wife, I got to mention him. He brought his beautiful wife with him, too.
It's certainly a pleasure to be with you this morning and to share from the Word of God. Just by way of introduction, it was probably 1959 on the tiny island of Guam that a Church of God missionary pastor by the name of Bill Wright visited our house and invited us to church. And that very first Sunday that my family was in that church, my mom and dad went down to the altar. And their six kids. I was one of their six kids. We followed them down as they knelt at an altar and gave their lives to the Lord with their six children, not even knowing what we were doing, to be honest, but just following them and leading them in altar prayer. And I know my life has never been the same since then. I've been in the Church of God since 1959. I've ordained as a Church of God pastor in 1979 in the state of West Virginia, served as a worship leader and youth pastor for 6 years, went on the mission field to the island of Guam and served as their missionary pastor for 4 years, and then came back to California and been serving as a pastor there in California for many years. So I'm very well acquainted with the Church of God, and I've always said Church of God people are some of the friendliest people in the world. And it's such a small church, you go somewhere and you're going to find someone who either heard of you, knows you, or whatever in this beautiful church family. But it's a pleasure to be here, and I appreciate Judy when you called. I've always told the Lord that if you ever give me an opportunity to share from the Word of God, that I will take it if it's all possible, if I don't have anything scheduled. So here I am. and I'm glad to be with you. Let me start by saying this. We live in a broken world, don't we? A divided country, a depraved and desperate culture. And let's be honest, we live in a world today where the church is wounded and many Christians are confused, struggling to make sense of this mess that is going on today. Are we held captive by our culture? Does our culture dictate who we are and how we live? Is our focus today on the fear of the future, or is our focus on our faith in God? Do we believe God is sovereign? I mean, do we really believe that, that God is in control? Do we believe in the providence of God, which means that in spite of all that's going on, God is working in the background his will. He is working for our good, for his kingdom, even though everything seems to be a mess. That's the providence of God. He's working. And we need to trust what he's doing. Do we believe that all things are in his hands and that everything will work out for our good, even as the world seems to be crumbling around us? Many Christians today are probably asking the question, where is God? Where is God? It reminds me of Elie Wiesel's book, Night. I don't know if you've ever read it, but it's about the Holocaust. And I'm just going to share a brief portion of that. And it's not to equate what's going on today with the Holocaust, but to equate the emotions and feelings that we are going through today, that they probably shared back then on a different level. But listen to this story, as Elie Wiesel writes. Never shall I forget that night, the first night in camp, which has turned my life into one long night, seven times cursed and seven times sealed. Never shall I forget that smoke. Never shall I forget the little faces of children whose bodies I saw turn into wreaths of smoke beneath a silent blue sky. Never shall I forget these things, even if I am condemned to live as long as God himself. Never. Then came the march past the victims. Two men were no longer alive. Their tongues were hanging out, swollen and bluish. But the third rope was still moving. The child, too light, was still breathing. And so he remained for more than half an hour, lingering between life and death, writhing before our eyes. And we were forced to look at him at close range. He was still alive when I passed him. His tongue was still red, his eyes not yet extinguished. Behind me, I heard the same man asking, "For God's sake, where is God?" And from within me, I heard a voice answer, "Where is he?" This is where, hanging there on the gallows. Can you imagine the feeling of fear and dread as he witnessed what was going on? The sense of a loss of hope for the future, that his life was going to end soon. And in the middle of that kind of anguish, some people are experiencing the same feelings. I mean, it's not that bad, but the same feelings of dread and despair and depression that is overcoming our community today in our country. But do we really believe, like in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, where the Apostle Paul says, "And we know all in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." Charles Swindoll said this, and this has stayed with me for many years, "Nothing touches me that has not first passed through the hands of God." Wow. That has stayed with me for years, with all that has happened in my life, to believe that God saw it, God knew it, but even more, that God allowed it for his purpose. The providence of God, that even through that difficult thing that I may be going through, he was working for my good, for his kingdom. If that is true, How do we respond to what's going on in our culture today? If that is true, how do we live in what has become a godless and spiritually dead culture? This morning, I want us to find comfort in the life of a young teenager facing a life of slavery and isolation from everything he knew and was taught as he grew up. And yet he survived and thrived and made a huge difference, not just during his lifetime, but for centuries to come. He's very familiar with most of us. His name is Daniel. Scripture can give us a clear picture of Daniel's life. But even more, it gives us a clear picture and reveals how God can work in a person's life who is fully devoted to serving him. There's so much we can unpack from the book of Daniel about the sovereignty of God, about the providence of God regarding the future of his chosen people and Daniel's foretelling of future events. But today I just want to focus on Daniel's faith and how his life made a difference in honoring God and pointing others to his God. Let's pray. God, may your word speak to our hearts this morning. May we gain insight, receive instruction. May we welcome inspiration. And may it initiate action in our lives as we respond in obedience to the Holy Spirit's leading. May we choose today to live for your glory and your honor. Amen. Listen, approximately 600 BC, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon, he conquered King Jehoiakim of Judah, and he takes the Israelites into captivity. Among the captives are Daniel and his friends. Daniel, about this time, was approximately 13 years old, just a young teenager. And normally, a conquering king, when they conquered another kingdom, more than likely liked to punish them and do everything in his power to dominate and control them. But King Nebuchadnezzar had a different approach. Listen, in Daniel chapter 1, verse 3 through 5. Then the king ordered Asphanes, chief of his court officials, to bring in some of the Israelites from the royal family and nobility, young men without any physical defect, handsome, showing aptitude for every kind of learning, well-informed, quick to understand, and qualified to serve in the king's palace. He was to teach them the language and the literature of the Babylonians. The king assigned them a daily amount of food and wine from the king's table, and they were to be trained for 3 years, and after that, you're to enter the king's service. Now, this is a different strategy, okay? He wasn't going to oppress them. He was going to impress them. Do you remember how easily influenced you were as a teenager? I mean, it was like when I was, we want to be an individual. So how am I going to be an individual? I'm going to dress like everyone else, eat with everyone else, have the same friends as everyone else, and all those things. I'm going to wear Nike shoes and bell-bottom pants and long hair. I'm showing my age. I'm sorry. But teenagers are easily impressed and impulsive when it comes to things. And here's Daniel and his friends at that tender age where they can be easily impressed with what this new culture had to offer. The king's scheme was not a new one. Satan's been using it forever. The king wanted to impress with a new culture to erase the past culture. And Apostle Paul warns of this in Romans 12:2. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. See, King Nebuchadnezzar's strategy was to overwhelm them with the pleasures and the best things that his culture had to offer them, win them over to his way of living. And once they had been indoctrinated to the culture and conformed to it, thereby erasing their past, then he would put them in the king's service. And that will ensure that he can control and manipulate future generations of slaves by using their own people against them. And we see that strategy being used today by the evil one. We're bombarded with promises and pleasures intended to impress us and at the same time confuse us and make the truth fuzzy that we have been trained and taught from our youth in order to lead us to conform to the culture and abandon the truth that we know. We see it today, don't we? Let's tear down old statues, reminding us of our history, and place them with new statues to alter and cover up and erase the truth of our history. People are not just making the truth fuzzy. They're not just watering down the truth. They're trying to erase it and strip it away from our thinking. The prophet Jeremiah warned about this in Jeremiah 6:16. This is what he wrote. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads. That's, we're at crossroads. You know that, folks? Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient path. Ask where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. But what did the people say? We will not walk in it. Sounds like today. The choice we make to conform to today's culture may result in living in captivity back then and today. But Daniel did not abandon what he was taught. He believed in God's will for his life. And it says that he did not want to defile himself. He did not want to go against the truth that he knew. So Daniel made a deal with Asphanus. Let us keep our traditions and the foods we normally eat. After 10 days, test us and see who is healthier. Daniel and his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, were blessed by God with knowledge and understanding and learning. And these four teenagers stood out from the others and were even 10 times wiser and more knowledgeable than the king's magicians and enchanters of the kingdom. Eventually, the four were put into the king's service. Daniel was also gifted with interpreting dreams. And when the king had a disturbing dream, Daniel was able to interpret the dream. And in Daniel chapter 2, verse 47, you read this. Then King Nebuchadnezzar said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of lords and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished him with many gifts. In chapter 3 of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar made an idol. He commanded everyone to fall down and worship that idol or be thrown into a blazing furnace. We're all familiar with that story. And one of the things that happened in that story was Daniel's three friends, they changed their name from Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See the strategy? Let's change the way they see themselves. Let's change the history. Let's change the culture. Let's change their names so they can be conformed to our culture. So they changed their names, but these young men stayed true to what they were taught, what they believed. But the king was manipulated, or he had made a decree that no one can pray to any god for 30 days except the king. So they took these teenagers and said, if you don't do what the king says, bow down and worship him, we're going to throw you in a fiery furnace. Daniel and his friends, it doesn't say it's Daniel at that time, but his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, would not bow to the king. And in Daniel chapter 3, verse 28-30, after it was all over and those three young Hebrew kids survived the fiery furnace, listen to Nebuchadnezzar's response. Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. This is because they were true to what they believed in their God. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their God. But what he says, therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces and their houses be turned into piles of rubble, for no other god can save in this way. The impact of their faith on this king was powerful. Now I'm going to skip ahead to Daniel chapter 6 as we kind of look at his life. The Babylonian Empire had fallen to the Medes, to the Persian Empire. So now a new king has emerged. A transition to a new culture is taking place. But even with this new culture, Daniel is maintained in a high position in the kingdom. speaks to his character. It was something about him, even though the whole culture had changed and the leadership had changed, they saw value in who Daniel was. King Darius is now in charge, but his administrators and satraps, they're jealous. I mean, this is a new kingdom, this new culture comes in, and here's this guy from the old school or the old culture, whatever, and he's still in this position. And so they were very jealous, and they manipulated the king to make a decree that you can't pray to any other god for 30 days, except to the king. And so when the king made that decree, in that culture, if you made a decree, you couldn't change it. Even if you wanted to, you could not change it. It was set in stone. But they did this to set Daniel up. Because Daniel, even knowing the king's decree, went home and was his custom, it says, he opened his window facing Jerusalem three times daily and prayed as he was accustomed to doing. His administrators and satraps took Daniel before the king. The king had to keep his decree. He couldn't violate his command. He could not take it back, so he had to throw Daniel in the lion's den. And Daniel survived the night, and King Darius was overjoyed. He had Daniel's accusers and their families thrown into the lion's den where they perished. The scriptures say that they, their wives, and children were overpowered by the lions, and they crushed all their bones. But listen to the result. Daniel 6, verse 25 to 28. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and men of every nation throughout the line, "May you prosper greatly. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel, for he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will never end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and on earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions." So Daniel, look at this, prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persians. Daniel survived a life that began in slavery. He maintained a life of faith. He didn't conform to the changing cultures and the various rules. His life made a difference in how even his enemies would see the God he worshiped and served. Now, this is what I have learned from Daniel's life. And this is how I think God wants to work in our lives. When you live, because what Daniel did, he maintained his integrity. When you live a life of integrity, doing the right thing, the right way, for the right reason, God will place you in a position of influence where you will be an inspiration to others, resulting in a life that has long-lasting impact on others. And that has been my goal for my life. Live a life of integrity. Let God use me to influence others. Let God use me to inspire others to believe in Him. And let God use me so that I can have an impact on others in the future. Let's talk about impact. Daniel was a person of integrity. He had influence. He inspired others to believe in God. But what was his legacy? What remained long after his life was over? Well, here's what we do. We fast forward in the Bible approximately 400 years. Three astrologers, or three wise men, living in the east, most likely the Persian Empire, see a star in the western sky. Something about that star awakens in their minds. A story that has been passed down for 400 years. It was a star signifying the birth of the king of the Jews, the king of their slaves, the king of a renowned Jewish leader who lived among them and told them that an anointed one was coming. And their response was to pursue that star and find that king. And they did, in a manger in Bethlehem. And they worshiped and presented gifts to this baby king. Why? Because almost 400 years before, a man named Daniel lived a life of integrity, a life of influence, a life of inspiration. And it lasted for 400 years to point to the King of Kings, the Anointed One. A young teenager taken as a slave to a foreign language, adjusting to a new culture, but maintaining his faith and his belief in God. We need to understand our culture can be overwhelming and discouraging, but can we dare to be a Daniel? He chose not to fight the culture. He chose not to flee the culture. He chose not to follow the culture, but he chose to live a life of integrity, influence, inspiration, and impact. If I were to sum up the life of Daniel in one simple word, because you can walk out of here and not remember integrity, influence, inspiration, impact. If there's one thing I would ask you to remember, is this: Daniel lived the life of obedience. That's what it is. He chose to obey God. He chose to live according to the truth. And my feeling is this: what can change our culture today? What can transform others' minds? It's our obedience to God, our obedience to his word, our obedience to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, and our obedience to our own personal convictions. Because let's be honest, there are some things God asks of us he may not ask of anyone else. But it's something that we do to maintain our covenant with God. Samson was one of those. Remember, he couldn't cut his hair, or he wasn't supposed to. He didn't get cut. But that was between him and God. That wasn't for every Jewish person. And there are some things God asks of us that we need to be faithful to and true to and have integrity in our relationship with him. And we need to live up to that, even though no one else does. That's part of our obedience. You know, Jesus impacts our lives in so many ways. We receive his grace and his love, his forgiveness, his mercy, and some of the powerful benefits of his of the peace he brings us, the hope, the joy, and so much more. But the only way we possess these gifts and these blessings are due to what? Jesus' obedience. He chose to be obedient. Look at Philippians 2, 6 through 8. Who being in the very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. It's all because of Jesus' obedience that we can live in this messed up world and live a life that's going to make a difference and have a lasting impact on others. There's a verse in Daniel chapter 8:27 that I heard about a month or so ago, and it's stuck with me. Daniel in chapter 8 had a frightening, troubling vision of the future, what lay ahead for the Jews. And this is what it says. I, Daniel, was exhausted after this dream and lay ill for several days. Then I got up and went about the king's business. Wow. We may be frightened, depressed, demoralized, living in fear, but at some point, like Daniel, we got to get up and get about the king's business. We got to get up and live a life of obedience to God. How do we deal with the king, messed up culture, and the world we live in? As exhausted and confused and worried as we may be, let's do the king's business. Let's live a life of integrity. Live a life of influence. Live a life of inspiration. Live a life of impact. Live a life of obedience to God's word and what he calls us to do. Defying the culture, sometimes that's what we have to do. Defying the culture, but be dedicated to the truth, is what's going to make an impact in our world today. You see, when that question comes, where is God? In all of this mess, where is God? God is living in us. He's living through us. He's alive and well, living through those who believe in him and bringing hope to this confusing, messed up world. Your obedience is the answer to many people's fear today. And we need to choose to have the courage to say, yes, God. Yes, God. Use me. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you that in your word we find examples of what it means to live a life of integrity, a life of influence, a life of inspiration, a life of impact, what it means to be obedient in all things. God, I pray that your Holy Spirit would move in our hearts, calm our fears, calm our anxieties, bring about the peace that is beyond understanding. Help us know we don't need to understand everything other than you are sovereign, other than know that you, the providence of God is going on, that you're working behind all of these things. And through our lives, we can have an impact on those around us and even those in the future. Bless us, we pray, as your children. May we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
and through this juice that is Christ's blood and this bread that is his body shed and broken for us, we can cross time and be just like Daniel. Never before had I heard how Daniel's impact, influence, inspired three wise men to chase after a star, right? I had never heard that connection put together. Powerful, right? One man and his influence represented here for us today. The King of all kings, pursued by wise men and wise women of all ages. We call that communion over time. And his sacrifice for us is ageless. Let us remember together as we take the bread, his body broken for us. And as we drink the juice together, his blood shed for all of us for all eternity. And remember that through this, we are all one family. Thank you, Lord, for your great sacrifice, for dying on the cross, for shedding your blood to fulfill the requirement of Scripture that a blood sacrifice be made for the forgiveness of sins. And you, Lord, fulfilled that once and for all. But then we celebrate together as a family your resurrection as well. And we commune not just with a death in our hearts to sin as the cross represents, but a rising to obedience through the power you have given us in the Holy Spirit, living in us every day, empowering us to be people of integrity. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to commune with you in our hearts eternally, together as one family. Amen.
So we're going to stand and we're going to close with, we're going to sing this a cappella, but we can do it because I know you have beautiful voices. Jesus, we just want to thank you.
Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Jesus, we just want to thank you. Thank you for being so good. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus, we just want to praise you. Jesus.
just want to praise you. Praise you for being so good. Jesus, we just want to tell you, Jesus, we just want to tell you, Jesus, we just want to tell you, we love you for being so good. Jesus, we just want to serve you. Jesus, we just want to serve you. Jesus, we just want to serve you. Serve you for being so good.
Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We have been in your presence. We have experienced your Holy Spirit moving in our midst. And we ask now that the peace of God, the power of your Holy Spirit, go with us as we choose to live a life that brings glory and honor to you. And we pray these in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you. Mm-hmm.